Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 37, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. To God, lover, beloved, and love." Through the fall, we are reflecting on the theme of why Jesus? Why is it that people have followed Jesus for 2,000 years? What is it about him that inspires the transformation of the world? Why Jesus? Last week, we recalled that Jesus helps us reimagine what a Messiah is, not one who comes in with guns a-blazing, but one who comes in to heal and to suffer alongside us. This week, we meditate on Jesus' transformative call to welcome. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Jesus' command to be people who receive and people who take in the most vulnerable of our world. But can I just address an elephant in the room for a second? Every 3 years, we get around this time to listen to the amazing poem at the end of the book of Proverbs, the so-called hymn to the virtuous woman or the faithful wife. Now, I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale on TV, and so maybe I'm a bit too sensitive, but I'm aware that there are certain passages of Scripture through the ages that have done harm to particular members of God's great family, and Proverbs 31 is one such passage. The weight of it has oppressed women for centuries and continues to. I'm of the belief that any interpretation of Scripture that incites or promotes or leads to violence on any of God's children should be mistrusted and questioned. So can I offer a different read, just very quickly, one that takes away the checklist approach to how good women should behave? So wisdom, the word is chokmah in the Hebrew. In the Greek, it's sophia, so we can see it a little more. Wisdom is a feminine word. Hebrew, like Greek and French for that matter, is an engendered language. Words are either masculine or feminine or neuter. Wisdom in the Hebrew is a feminine word, chokmah. And at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we read about Lady Wisdom, who calls people to come and not only follow her, but to marry her. Opposed to Lady Wisdom is the dissolute and depraved Lady Folly, who is on the corner beckoning the fool to marry her instead. But we are to reject Lady Folly and marry Lady Chokmah, Lady Wisdom. At the end of the book of Proverbs, we hear this poem to the faithful wife or a virtuous woman. And this poem is not a poem directed at wives. Rather, it is a poem to Lady Wisdom. When she is our life's partner, she proves herself to be a faithful, dedicated, and determined partner to each and every one of us who marries her. Men and women and non-binary alike can and must marry Lady Chokmah to have stable, effective, productive lives. Okay, there you go. That's a little something to hold on to when it comes to Proverbs 31. But now back to our theme, why Jesus? And quite honestly, quite basically, it's the same answer as why Lady Chokmah. Jesus is our wisdom. And we are invited, called to wed him. Men and women and non-binary alike called to wed Jesus, to marry him, and in him find a faithful and supportive spouse in this life. But why Jesus, according to Mark 9? And let's recall this lesson for a second. Jesus and his followers are still walking along, as we all are, walking along on this spiritual journey through life. And while they are walking along, the followers of Jesus are arguing amongst themselves. They are having a competition. They are competing about who is the greatest among them. Isn't that so basically human? A constant competition of greatness. Who has the most money? Who can make it to space first? Who has the best car? Who can lift the most? Who can win the most seats in the election? Who can do this better? Who can do that longer? And as we heard last week, Jesus reminds the world that greatness is not measured by armies or strength or power or wealth or fame, but on being able to give up our lives in love for one another. Seems like the disciples, like us, again and again, have forgotten this. So Jesus tries again. This time he takes a child and puts it in the center of the group and lifts it near to his heart and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes one such as this in my name welcomes me." Two things here. First, what does it mean to welcome? And second, what does one such as this mean? So first, what does it mean to welcome? In the Greek, the word welcome is the Greek word dechomai, and it means to welcome or receive or to take into one's place, one's home. Welcoming or receiving is a foundational posture for the follower of Jesus. As Mary welcomed the angel and received the Spirit of God, as Jesus welcomed and received tax collectors and sinners, those outcasts by the good citizenry of his day. As we welcome and receive the body of Christ weekly in the form of bread, or bread in the form of the body of Christ, a foundational posture for the follower of Jesus is one of receiving or welcoming. Each Lent, for the last three Lents, we have offered a spiritual practice called the Welcoming Prayer. It's a prayer developed by someone named Mary Morozowski, excuse me on my pronunciation. On the website for the Center of Action and Contemplation, we read this definition of welcoming prayer. They write, "Welcoming prayer is a method of consenting to God's presence and action in our physical and emotional reactions to events and situations in daily life. So to deepen our relationship with God through consenting in the ordinary activities of our day, welcoming prayer is consent on the go." Okay, so what does that mean? Welcoming prayer is a prayer practice of three movements. This is what the Reverend Laurie Martin has taught me. Movement one is to notice and allow the feelings we are feeling with all their sensations in our body, in our heart, our mind, to become aware of our feelings. That's movement one. Movement two is to consent, like Mary, to welcome God's presence in the midst of our feelings. Movement two. Movement three is to let go of our desire for security and affection and control. So, for example, to let go of our desire to suppress our feelings because, you know, who knows what they will lead to, or to let go of our desire to suppress our feelings because, you know, someone might not love us if they know what we're feeling, or to let go of our desire to suppress our feelings out of fear of losing control. To let go of all these things and accept the feelings for what they are. To notice, to welcome, and to let go. Notice, welcome, let go. This is welcoming prayer. So I want to try this spiritual practice together for a moment, just so that you get a taste of it. Close your eyes for a moment. Find a comfortable posture. And when you're ready, take a deep breath. Notice how you are feeling. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're happy, enthusiastic. Maybe you're irritated that I'm making you do this. Maybe you're scared, peaceful. Notice these feelings. Name them. And notice how these feelings are present in your body. Perhaps your mind is racing. Maybe your heart is pumping faster than normal. Maybe your breath is shallow. Maybe it's really relaxed and deep. Okay, these are your feelings. Now, movement two. Welcome God's presence in you. Say this to God. God, you are welcome here. Spirit of God, I receive you. I take you into myself. Just say that. Welcome. Welcome. Take a deep breath. And we move to movement three. Movement three is looking our feelings square in the eyes, not trying to control or suppress it. That takes so much energy. Instead, let's just face it. They're there. Acknowledge your feeling. Say, I am afraid, or I am frustrated, or I am angry, or I am happy. Face it. God is right next to you as you say it. God's not upset at your feelings. God is, in fact, delighted at your confession. Let your desire to control go. Let it go. Take a deep breath. Okay. You can open your eyes. That was a simple practice of the welcoming prayer. To notice, to welcome, to let go. And if you want to learn more about it, speak to me. I'll probably refer you to Catherine Murray or Jean Fraser, or as I mentioned, the Reverend Laurie Martin, who taught me. And keep your ears open to the Lenten practice coming in the new year. The posture of welcoming, receiving, taking in is foundational to Jesus' way. And it is unlike the posture practiced by so many in this world, us included from time to time. Those not married to Jesus or to Lady Wisdom have the posture of grabbing and taking and hoarding and clenching, suppressing and ignoring and hiding and denying. No, 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 not us. No, relax. Let all that go and welcome. Receive. Take into your inner self the presence of God and be a welcoming presence to those around you. Which leads us to the second question. Just who are we welcoming? Who is our posture directed at? Jesus says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. I don't know about you, but sometimes Christianity can be so spiritually minded and focused on the inner life that we neglect the practical or the physical world around us. Jesus consistently repudiates a non-physical form of spirituality, one that neglects the ethical and the physical and the worldly implications of our lives. Jesus was a practical theologian. We might say it this way. Jesus is an incarnate God. Like Lady Wisdom, Jesus starts with the world, the seeds, the trees, the fish, the poor, the sick. They are our platform, our foundation for connecting with God. Yes, our goal is to welcome the creator of the universe into our hearts and minds, but we don't do that by ignoring the world and those around us. In order to welcome God, our creator, into our midst, into our hearts, we must make Jesus' way our way. And his way is one of hands and feet, eating and drinking, healing and forgiving, helping and holding children to his heart. We can't jump to welcoming God in our hearts if we have not taken first the steps to follow Jesus and welcome or receive the child in our midst. What is a child? A child is someone who owns nothing, who has nothing to give back, who is dependent and vulnerable and, dare I say it, useless. A child is useless. Now, let me explain what I mean by useless, because that doesn't sound very nice. Something that is useful is something that helps me attain or earn or get something. A wrench is useful because with it I can fix a car. A pencil is useful because with it I can write a letter. Money is very useful because with it I can purchase goods and services. Love is kind of on the useless side of things. It can't be used to gain or attain anything. Now, maybe you've experienced a different sort of love which tries to manipulate you or control you or buy you, but my friends, that's not love. Love can't be used to buy or sell or fix. It exists on its own, as its own, for its own. So to a child. A child can offer nothing in return. They can only be received and cared for and tended to. It is useless in that it cannot be used to buy or sell or fix or destroy anything. And, oh my goodness, woe to the ones who do use children in this way. To welcome or receive a child into our midst is to receive a gift that can't in and of itself offer anything back. In our relationships, we especially love people who give something back and reject those who are no good to us, but children can't give us anything back. Neither can the poor one, the poor person, or the socially outcast, or the sick, or the dying. Neither can the mentally ill. They can't give anything back, but unless we are open to receiving or welcoming ones such as these, as Christ did, we will never be able to welcome the God who fashioned us and who holds us. Our posture as followers of Jesus is a posture of welcoming, and we welcome especially those who can't give us anything in return. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? Because Jesus has shown us the path to letting go of our need to win or control or use. He has shown that the hope of the world is not this way. Rather, it is in the posture of welcoming the weakest among us to tend and care for and heal and befriend. In this way, the world has a future. This week, practice the inner and outer work of welcoming. Take time out of your week to speak to a child or have a conversation with someone who is sick. Sit for a moment with someone who is homeless. Receive someone who can't give you something back in return. And practice the movements of the welcoming prayer. Notice, welcome, let go. And in doing so, my friends, welcome the living presence of God in your midst. In the name of Jesus Christ, your friend and your helper. Amen.